You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Father, you're so beautiful. You're so radiant. You're so wonderful. You've been moving in this place this week. The only thing that we can do, the only thing that we can say is thank you. The only thing left to do is bow down and worship you, Father, and give you all the glory and give you all the honor for the way that you've moved, the way that you've spoken, the way that you've touched our hearts, the way that you've drawn us closer to be knit with your Son, Jesus. We're so grateful, Father. We're so grateful, Lord. What an amazing week. What an amazing morning. What a way to start out 2020, this new decade, the roaring 20s, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah roaring in our hearts, doing something new, doing something fresh, birthing something even greater than what we could have ever imagined or expected. God, you're taking us deeper, Lord, in the heart of your Son, the heart of you, Jesus, where we're hidden with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This week has been nothing short of amazing. With the ongoing intercession that's taken place, with the worship that has taken place in the middle of the night and in the evenings, it's been absolutely precious, absolutely sweet, communing with the Lord, taking communion with one another. It's been above and beyond any other time. It's just built upon the other 24/7 prayers and worships that we've had and we've hosted here. So thank you for coming in. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for spending time with the Lord. And might need some help with the girls up here. They love the presence too. The girls have been here throughout the week and it's been fun. So we have some pictures that I want to show, but how many of you were able to make it out this week at some point? Or even if you couldn't physically be here, you were at home praying in heart and just communing with the Lord. How many of you felt something different this year? Felt something that the Lord was speaking and just piercing your heart in a different way? I know that he's been moving, and we have amazing stations that are set up in areas of prayer for the government, for the United States, for the media and communication, ways that the Lord is moving in the earth through audio Bibles and through Jesus Film Project, and praying for the persecuted church, specific people like Pastor Benjamin, and praying for the Redemption for Life and for international missions. And so there are new scriptures to dive into, new things that the Lord's highlighting and opening our eyes to, bringing revelation and understanding. So do we have any of those pictures ready by chance? Okay. And then on Friday night, we had Gateway come, and they led out in worship at 7 p.m. and then Frontline after that. So It was really amazing. The Lord was building something this week, building just a deeper fervency, a deeper desire and hunger to go after his word, to seek him. So I'm waiting for those pictures. Does anyone, just one person, have a testimony from this week that they'd like to share of what the Lord did, what the Lord showed them? I know that during the night hours, I was here from 2 to 4 a.m. one of the times with Peter and Rachel Larson, and we were worshiping, and as we were just praying out, a lot of times in worship, you know, we have our songs and we're singing them out, but the Lord, Holy Spirit, just takes it into a prophetic vein where you're declaring and you're worshiping out things that you didn't expect you would. And I just felt these angels in the room. I felt them moving around and just taking all of the decrees and all of the prayers and being the Lord's ministers and going into the nations, going into the specific places to do the assignments of the Lord. So it was really beautiful and really precious. This was last night. Do you have any from earlier in the week by chance? We had all the worship leaders, different worship leaders that were able to come out and lead at different times. and others join in on instruments and percussion, and it was really sweet and really beautiful. Something that we've never done before is have a separate acoustic time back there. Lord. That, sure. I think her mic needs to be turned on.
And I work night shift. And so I usually don't come during the week because it butts right up to when I have to be at work. So I did Thursday. I came. And I had not slept that day very well. And I had worked the night before. And I got prayer right before I left. And I was so okay that night, because usually I love that Jesus can drive my car, but I know he probably wants me to drive my car with my eyes open. And many times he does drive my car and saves my soul, but I was alert and had energy, and because when I was here, I felt like I was just sore. So just that bit of prayer, being here, sacrificing the time to come, he's worth it, because he will sustain you. As you serve him, he will sustain you. And I really wasn't looking forward to that night. And I was able to stay awake. I drove over 220 miles that night on long, dark, black roads where there's nothing else but me and sleepy time ahead of me if I wanted to, you know. But the Lord sustained me and kept me alert with my job and what I was doing and, you know, kept me alive. So I really appreciate the prayer. And I thank him that anytime we show up and we sacrifice, it's not always tit for tat, but he will take care of us, you know, so I'm thankful for that.
Do we have anyone else? And we have some more, I think we have more pictures. Peter, do you want to come and share really quick? Just real quick. I think.
Yeah, that night was really precious. You know, I'd had an encounter with the Lord that really took me to a whole different place of worship. And before that night, that experience was beginning to wane. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to lose that. And so we came and we worshiped that night. And like Jamie was saying, there's these times where this prophetic worship and declaration was just coming out. And it was just like we were just getting the heart of Jesus. We were looking at his face and seeing him breaking for the nations, for people that we know. People that we know. People that we go to work with. And it was so sweet being there. I've heard it that in the night hours, you know, Jesus, I mean, things are active, things are going on. And being there and catching his heart and being able to sing and pray it out, it was just renewal. There was a sweet, sweet renewal and a hope that took place inside of my life personally that I can capture his heart, see his face, and worship his heart out. I can worship mine out too, but I like worshiping his heart out.
There was an increase in the spirit, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. Those who were here, maybe at home you could feel it. There was something different about this time. It was very exciting. And we're looking forward to 24/7 prayer and worship, which we're finalizing the schedule, and we're at this point looking to potentially do this right before Resurrection Sunday, during Holy Week, just leading up to that, and then if that changes, we'll finalize that and let you know. But we just really wanted to add our voice, saying that even around the county, there may not have been a ton of people here from around the county, but the responsiveness from people when we were sharing what was going to happen here seemed to be different, seemed to be more exciting. Yes, this was last night. I was taking this. So if you haven't had an opportunity to go in the back and take some time, please do that. Afterwards, we're going to take it down later on, sometime this afternoon, but it really is worth it. And it's not that it's an event, it's that it's an opportunity just to add your voice corporately and also write down what you're seeing, thinking, and feeling. Because I really am eager to go and look in the journals and see what God's doing, because we don't have that opportunity. And there just seemed to be an upgrade. That's the only word I can say for it. So thank you. Thank you for coming out, and thank you for praying at home as well for this. It means a lot, and I really think it affects a lot of change. So God bless you guys. This was really, really awesome. I love this. So thank you. Thank you for making this a priority. The Lord was blessed and honored. Really appreciate it. So I'm just trying to capture this. Didn't realize all of this would be shared. Long, it's long, but it just gives an idea so we can have a journal of what was going on here so we can do this again. So
I just love how multifaceted the Lord is. He calls us to love him and serve him in so many ways, and prayer and worship is definitely a part of that. And as Peter shared, you know, there were times of just praying over the nations and our contacts in the nations. As many of you know, we have a children's home in Rajahmundry, India. And that was founded in 2009. At that point in time, there were 18 fairly young children living in the home. Now, 10 years later, that has grown to 31 individuals. Some of them are still the same children, so they're not so much children anymore, but young adults. They're in college and trade school, and the mama and papa of that home started out as Pastor Dewa and Mama Sunitha, and then Pastor Dewa has a brother, Pastor Prabhaka, and his wife Sumati, and they also had a children's home that was just across a small alleyway. And in recent years, they also came under the banner of Frontline, so the brothers have always, you know, worked together, and now it's come even closer in unity, which we've loved to see that, and now they're all our 31 Frontline kids in India, which is just really amazing. Myself and many others here have had the opportunity to go and visit them and meet them. And that is just so, 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 so precious. And last year, Christy and I spoke about this and shared some things that a letter specifically that one of the young men had written to his sponsor. And it just shows the impact that this really has on the kids' lives. And when we go there, they're asking about their sponsors. They know all of your names and all of your kids' names, and they want to see pictures. And we love having the opportunity to write them letters, specifically at Christmas time. Thank you all so much, the sponsors and also some others that wrote letters to the children in India. We were able to get those all to them just before Christmas, which I know is a blessing to them. So we do have a video. If you want to pull up the video first, we just have a video greeting from them. I think that's almost all of the kids. I counted 29, so maybe a couple weren't there when they took that video. But it just gives you a picture, all different age ranges. Again, a number of them are now in college and trade school. So that's a huge blessing for them to be able to do and then have a viable profession that they can go into, which will really transform their lives. So the reason I wanted to talk about this today is just as we're, you know, kicking off 2020, there are still 7 children that need sponsors. So the sponsorship, what that entails is writing letters to them, as we've already said, you know, getting to know them through that way, but also a monthly sponsorship of $35 per month that takes care of their daily needs, food, clothing, all of those things. And then in addition to that, we do pay for their schooling. So that cost it varies quite a bit. When they're in first through 10th class or grade, as we say, that's basically $35 to $65 a year. And then if they choose to go into college or trade school, we really like to be able to support that also. And so then If they pursue that, it's between $300 and $400 a year based on their grade and their major that they choose to pursue. So sometimes that can seem like a large amount, but then we consider what college costs or trade school costs here in the U.S. And wow, $300 to $400 sounds like quite a deal. So we love being able to support them through that. And then every year, right around Christmas, we accept a $30 gift for them to be able to get a new outfit and anything else that they would need at that time. And also sending them a letter then. So we have information on each of the seven children that need to be sponsored. We'll just go through them quickly here. They're also out in the foyer. If you're here and you're part of our frontline family, this is a family endeavor. It's, you know, a heart connection. We work with them so closely. So if you consider Frontline to be your church home and you would like to sponsor one of these children, you can feel free to see me after church and we can set that up. But you can take a look at all of the information for the children in the foyer as well. So you can, you know, see which one the Lord might lead you to sponsor. If you're already sponsoring a child or two and you want to pick up another, that's great also. So here's Sean Du. He's 18 years old. His goal is to be an engineer. You can go to the next one. John Raju is 11 years old, wants to be a police officer. And he has an older sister named Kumari, who is also part of the home. Siam is 17 years old, also wants to be an engineer. Naga Raju is 19 years old and wants to be a forest officer. Sounds cool to me. And he has a younger sister in the home, Jahansi Rani. There she is, Jahansi Rani, 17 years old, wants to be a lab technician. Karthik is 13 years old, and he wants to be a police officer. There's Kumari, the older sister of John Raju. She's 17 years old and wants to be a doctor. Was that seven? All right, that's seven. I wasn't counting. So, yeah, again, if the Lord stirs your heart to jump into sponsorship, again, feel free to take a look at those pages, the children, the information on the children closer at the end of service and see me. Thank you.
When we were there last spring, we had time with the children, spiritual time with the children, meaning we're talking to them about the Lord, we're ministering to them, etc. And there are children who want to go into full-time ministry, meaning that they're going to a university or college or they have an idea so that they'll be able to hold on, hold fast to a skill, especially in India. And that will be very helpful, even for those who want to go and start a church or continue in evangelism. But nonetheless, all of them have hearts for Jesus and want to step into serving him through that vocation, but also, you know, additional types of outreaches and things like that. So this is not one or the other. These are kids who are being raised up in the Lord to love Jesus, to see that their first mission is to serve him wholeheartedly in any endeavor. And then they have schooling on their mind as something so, so important in India, which we highly value as well. But this is not the end of the road. Oh, I'm going to be a doctor, we'll see you. No, they're encouraged to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So education's important there, but there are others that we've not mentioned who have specifically said, I really want to go out into evangelism, I want to be a pastor, I want to do this. Many of them may come back and help with the children's home, and you just don't know what the future is. So this will be a sense for them that they have accomplished something from an educational perspective, perspective, but that is not limiting them in what they want to do in serving the Lord additionally, not just through that vocation, but also in other ways. So just so that you're aware that that's a high priority for us and for them overseas. So we feed into the leaders over there, and we feed into, so there's connection, so that they're soaking, these kids are praying for people, they're learning about healing, they're reading the Bible, they're spending time in the Lord's presence. So the Lord's presence is their main focus that we are trusting and hoping will be what's offered to them. And then out of that will spill various ways that they can express that. Same for CISA, kids in Mozambique. They're being trained up as professional soccer players, but also as missionaries to go out and spread the gospel in fullness all around Mozambique and the world. So it's a similar type of situation as just in India. So, amen. Is there someone else who has an announcement? Sin? Okay.
I just want to highlight two things that are happening this week. Tuesday, we have Fire and Wind and Soaking, but from 7 to 8, we're going to be hosting again the prayer gathering, which is local churches coming together. It's usually back in the overflow room, and the community comes in, and we pray for our community and whatever the Lord puts in our heart. So that is this Tuesday from 7 to 8. So I encourage you to come, encourage you to be here even a few minutes early so we can greet those that are visiting our church. Building. So again, that's Tuesday, 7 to 8, prayer gathering, and then we'll go into worship from 8 to 9 as regular. And then also, next Sunday, January 19th, will be our annual meeting following our service here. So if you'd like to join us, there'll be lunch provided, and we'll be able to share lots of things. Things from 2019, but then also we're looking forward to 2020. So Tuesday and Sunday, big days this week. So please mark those on your calendar. Amen. Children, be blessed in your kingdom land. Teachers, God bless you.
Do you? I don't see you move in that direction. More fun back there than listening to me. Well, you can make yourself useful. You're not going to preach. Could you help pass that out, sir? Father, we're here, ready to learn. Holy Spirit, we're here. Go ahead and teach us. Jesus, we're here. You are our example. Lord, we lift up our hearts to you and open hearts to receive what the Spirit is saying to the church today. God, we love it that you love to bring encounter even during these times. It's not about my voice, my words, even the message. It's about what you say, Holy Spirit, in hearts, what encounter you bring with the Word of God and with your voice. We expect to hear from you today, each of us. I expect to hear while I'm sharing. I expect to encounter you while I'm sharing. I want each person here to be open to encounter while they're listening, while they're hearing. And Jesus, you just love to do that. And you're going to do it more and more and more as the time draws near that you're coming. You are coming. You are coming back. You are coming back for a bride. May we be ready and prepared even by this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to 2020. Oh, I guess we already did that many times. We do have a quote today, I remembered. And so we'll put that up. This is the kind of message that it depends on how you look at it. I've either spoke on it almost every time I speak, or there are aspects of it I've never really covered. So it should be interesting. Wow, look at that font. We are upgraded for 2020. Having the heart of a hilarious giver is far more important than the gift itself, unless you're Jesus. The gift and the giver were one and the same when it came to him. But for us, having the heart of a hilarious giver is far more important than whatever gift that we give. Does God need our gifts? Wow. I thought it'd be better in 2020. Does God need our gifts? Come on, you gotta put something behind it, though. That was louder, but you gotta put something behind it, like, no. And look kind of like serious, but joyful. Okay, I heard it. No, he doesn't need anything from us other than us. Or at least he wants us to be in cooperation with him as well as co-partners with him. God could just come down and do everything he wants because he has unlimited resources, unlimited power. He could just sovereignly save people, deliver people, heal people. He could just do it every minute of every day. Jesus was kind of an example of that. But you know, there were some people that didn't get to the location that Jesus was. So they were unaffected. There were still sick people when Jesus left the earth. There were still people that were struggling with their finances. There were still people that had many needs because they didn't come to the place that he was. But God is unlimited. He's not in one place. He could just sovereignly come down and meet every need. But instead, he wants us to co-partner with him in meeting those needs. And that's why it's such a privilege to be a laborer for Jesus, to be a person involved in God's army, to be a person involved in his family that reaches out in love to everyone that moves, that we pray for anything that moves on the planet. You should be having that heart and encouraging me to have that heart this year, that anything that moves, we pray for, we minister to, any person that moves. I think that line's getting longer. That's pretty cool. And some of them are getting much taller. So, Father, we know that you're listening to all of this. So speak to us, God, as we consider these things. You don't need our gifts, but that doesn't mean you don't want us to give. You can use what we do give in co-partnership. God could just sell all the cattle on 1,000 hills and take care of all the needs in the world. He has that ability. But he has called us to get involved, given us the privilege to be involved. So I want to have more of a heart of a hilarious giver. I need adjustments in my giving this year. I want to be more hilarious about it. I want to laugh when it looks like this is crazy to give this or whatever. And just laugh about it. Because he's already promised he's going to take care of our needs. He's going to take care of his children. Part of the difficulty when you meet people is they complain about a lot of things, but many times what they don't have. Finances, wow, in some cases, doesn't God care that I'm struggling here? Well, ask that same person Are you a giver? Oh, I help my neighbor all the time. But are you giving towards what he says to give to? What do you mean? Well, you know, the work of the gospel, his church. Oh, those preachers? All they do is ask for money. In some cases, they're right. There are ministries that, man, we know the history, right? All they did was ask for things, and things that they couldn't even deliver, they would promise. And that's a stain on those that are actually wanting to build the kingdom of God, not their own little kingdom in ministry. So they're right. If you look at certain examples, they're absolutely right. But what about the ones that are under the hand of God and have the fear of God? And they know God can supply without you giving anything to that box back there. That's why we don't pass an offering plate. You ever notice? Well, I guess we have a couple of times. We've put one up here, you know, something. But on a Sunday morning, you don't get an offering plate that goes by with a person standing there looking what you're putting in. And they go to the next row. And they, you know, if you train those guys really right, you know, they could be going, come on. You can do better than that. But I grew up with that. And they'd come to the end of the row, and it didn't affect my mom. She put in that dollar faithfully. You know why? She gave it to me to put in front of the guy that was looking. So I put the dollar in as a 10-year-old, and, you know, he thought it was from me, and she was giving later, I guess. But we don't pass the offering plate very often. Why? Because we want God to speak to your heart. Put it in a little box back there if you choose to hear what Holy Spirit says to give. And what have we done with that? We have gone all over the world with that kind of system. Trusting that Holy Spirit can speak to you, you'll respond. It doesn't matter if we're a small group or bigger or whatever. And we'll reach the nations. And it's worked. It's worked. So the leadership here, you have to say they have a little bit of faith. Because I talk to other pastors and they say, you do what? You don't pass the offering plate? You have a little box on a ball? Are you crazy? And then you leave for like weeks during the year. Maybe it adds up to like 2.5 months or something like that during the year. You leave and you expect those people to give when you're not there? I have to be right there looking at them and passing the plates, or we wouldn't be able to operate as a church, and you're going to the nations. And I just think, God, you get all the glory for that, because I didn't set up that system. I didn't think of the little box. I didn't think of any of these things. You spoke to our leadership and said, let's do it simple. Let people respond to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it works a whole lot better. Now, how do you know if someone is not a hilarious giver? Because they would have a problem with a message on giving. They would think I have some insidious motive that I'm speaking it right now because we're on the edge in front line. What a good time to speak about it. Sorry. We're well afloat right now. Well afloat with more expected. Well, not after this message. That's not what I meant. It's not what I meant. I know of other gifts coming in, okay? So I thought, well, in the Bible, who would be a hilarious giver? First person that popped into my mind was someone my height. I love it. Zacchaeus. You know, he's trying to get a look at Jesus, a little bit curious. And Jesus surprises him. I know you. It's like he's saying, I know you're a hilarious giver at heart. You just haven't stepped up to it yet. Hey, I'm coming to your house for dinner. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was up in a tree. He could have pulled out his budget and said, I won't have as much if I give lunch to Jesus, his followers, everybody. He could have said, well, hey, you know, maybe catch me next month. I'll just put a little extra on the tab for the people, and then we can pay for that big meal. But no, he stepped into it. He was anxious and excited and desirous of having Jesus come to his house. And we don't hear of anything Jesus says at first. Not while he's having the meal with Zacchaeus. You know how you get some of those conversations and there's a challenge from Jesus. You don't get that in that account. Just all of a sudden, Zacchaeus jumps up and goes wherever he's got his money hidden. And in the Jesus film, he barely can reach up. It's behind a deal on the wall, and he reaches up and pulls it out of a high place, and he stands on his tippy toes, and all the disciples laugh. I love that. That would be me. So he pulls it out, and he just starts giving, giving, giving back what he had stolen. But the way God saw it was, he's giving to me. It wasn't that he gave to the people. Zacchaeus, by encountering Jesus, became a hilarious giver. His heart changed. And so he gave away to the people, but he actually was giving to God. You know the woman with two mites. I brought one of her mites in. I know it was the original. In a little plastic thing, and I've passed it around before. They were small. But Jesus saw it. And he said, she's given more than all these rich people because she gave all she had. Now, was it the amount she gave? Of course not. Was it the two mites? Was it a comparison thing? No. It was as she was giving her heart behind this gift. It was her heart that he was looking at. She was willing to give everything for Jesus. And the ones that were bringing the big offerings and so on, we know what they looked like often. Hold up the bag so everyone can see. Look at me. Look at me. I'm giving to God. But it was out of their surplus, not out of their heart. So they were just kind of giving God, you know, here you go, look everyone. And they had a lot in there, but it was pocket change to many of them. And Jesus saw the difference in hearts. That was the big thing, not the size of the gift, but the size of the heart. And the poor widow's heart was huge, huge for God. Because once again, He doesn't need what's in the bag. He doesn't need what's in the purse, in the wallet, in the checking account, in our IRA. He doesn't need it. He could sovereignly do things, or he could just come in and do things without money, which he must do in Africa and India and a lot of places. They're going out and doing outreaches without money. They're providing meals with money they don't really have. And they'll tell you the stories. I was right. I didn't have any. And then pow, someone walked by and gave this gift. Someone came to our house and gave this gift. Someone came to church and they left a gift we'd never even thought we'd ever receive. And a stranger this and so on. They're having supernatural encounters of provision. Because sometimes Jesus has to do that, especially if the community is poor. Because what comes in, even if they're good tithers and good people of offerings and so on, it's just not enough to do what needs to be done in ministry. So he knows how to get that provision to the people that are ministering in his name for the gospel. It's awesome. But the rich young ruler, put the scriptures there, but you know what's going on with him. Oh, I've done that. Oh, bring up another law, and I've kept it. I've kept it from my youth. Try to find something in me, Jesus. It's kind of the attitude. He did. Well, then everything you have, just sell it and give it to the poor. Since you've done everything else, become a hilarious giver, and you got the full package. He didn't say, you must be born again, to the rich young ruler. It was probably true. He had been doing the religious acts faithfully, but was he born again in Jesus? Most likely not. He wrapped himself around his religion. He loved it. It was all about him keeping the law. That's probably not a person that's born again, because all the glory would go to Jesus. He'd be worshiping at Jesus' feet when he showed up rather than talking about how great he was. Give it all to the poor. Come follow me. What did he do? Walked away. What did Zacchaeus do? Drew in. Intimacy. A meal. Fellowship with Jesus. Encounter with Jesus. And he becomes a hilarious giver out of that encounter. Rich young ruler walks away. Selfish. Not going to give it. But what person do you know in the body of Christ that is penniless because they've given everything to God? Do you know anybody like that? Now, there may be some examples overseas that we just don't know their finances. It's possible. But no, he says, give it all, lay it all on the altar. And guess what? I'm going to give it back to you, about, 80-90% of it back to you, and I'm going to let you steward it. I'm going to let you co-labor with me with those resources. I'm going to put you in charge of everything I've supplied to you. I own everything, but I'm going to let you co-manage it with me. That's a privilege. Honoring God as the one that gives everything, that owns everything, that's worship. That's as much worship as the beautiful worship time we had this morning. Honoring him. Knowing he's the one that gives life. He's the one that gives the ability to take care of our needs in every way. Sorry, got to say it. With the 700 names and titles that he has. Each of those areas. But one of them, obviously, is provider, shepherd, you name it. There are many names that have to do with his provision for us. Taking care of us. Or do we have the attitude like the rich young ruler, I'll take care of myself. I got enough riches to take care of myself. Well, Nebuchadnezzar thought that, and what happened to him? He was walking on top of the wall. Look at all that I have made. Woohoo! I'm quite the ruler. I am quite the rich man. I've built big stuff. It's going to be one of the seven wonders of the world. Original seven wonders. Whenever those were determined, that one was on there. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar built that. But just as soon as it gets out of his mouth, he goes nutso, fruitcake, fruit loop. For 7 years, 7 years, he eats grass looking at that wall. He's out there in the courtyard eating grass. 7 years. Now back then, if there was any weakness in a king, another king came in and took over. That's the way it worked. You've got your king out there eating grass like a fruitcake, like a, you know, like a goat out there gnawing on grass in the courtyard. There's our king. Just a moment. He'll be with you in a moment. But I'm sorry, he's eating green right now, so you may have an interesting salad that you share with him. Why wasn't he taken over? Because there was a hilarious giver who had influence in his empire. And his name was Daniel. Daniel, I think, I don't know if I could prove it, but I think, I spiritually discern, I prophetically speak out to you that it was Daniel that saved the kingdom for this evil king that eventually worshiped God's name when he came back to real life. Hello, you're back from the island. If someone gets emotionally distraught, tell them not to go to that island. Someone has, you know, just fearful thoughts, please, let's pray God's peace into you so you come back from that island. That's not a good island to live on. Worry, lack of peace, fear. Come back from that island. Not a good one to visit. Come back here. Come back here. So Daniel, I think, was the one that was wise enough to save the kingdom for this wacko king. And he ended up giving glory to God. And we can assume that he figured out a way to stop talking about himself and start talking about God, so he became a hilarious giver. We can assume that. Again, can't prove it, but I'm spiritually discerning it, and I'm prophetically saying it out. So, different heart in Zacchaeus than in the rich young ruler. And we hear about the hilarious giver in 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 11. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand. Now, get this. He sent some guys to make sure that the other guys prepared their gift for Paul. Can you imagine that today? Hey, you mind if my guys stop over to your house and help you prepare the gift for Frontline? That you're going to give, that you already said you would give. I've got some of the leaders are going to stop by and just make sure you get it all together. And they might kind of, you know, encourage you a little bit, exhort you, it says, exhort you a little bit to get that gift together and make sure that you bring it to Frontline. So, you know, we're pretty easy on you. Put a box in the back. Put a box on the wall. And a small one. You know, what if we biggie-sized it so that you couldn't get out the door? You start to open the door and you run into the box. And it's a reminder. I'm a hilarious giver. And maybe we could get one of those signs that many churches have out front, you know, that have the running message. You are a hilarious giver. You are hilarious. Right on the offering box. I interrupted the scriptures. Forgive me, God. That it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not of grudging obligation. So I assume they were saying, now, this is because you're generous, right, when they show up at your house. It's not because we are here collecting it, right? It's not a grudging obligation to give to Frontline. It's from your heart, right? They're encouraging the people that he sent them to encourage on their gift. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Excuse me. Need to ask. Even if you've not experienced this in life yet, I think after this message, some of you will. Is that a true statement? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. There are enough examples to know that is true. And that's the true prosperity message, by the way. That you sow into Jesus, your needs are going to be taken care of. You love Jesus, you live for Jesus, your needs are going to be taken care of. Not just your physical needs. Spiritually, socially, mentally, emotionally. This promise covers all that. That's part of the generosity of God. Sometimes his mercy jumps in and he's generous to us when we're stingy, when we're selfish. And that's for the rest of the body of Christ to look at that and go, I'm not jealous of that. That person is really doing well right about now. And I know it has to come from God's hand to them, yet they are so selfish. I know that. They've even declared it themselves. And then it helps us trust God, doesn't it? Instead of get jealous, envious, you know, seven deadly sins. It helps us trust God when we see someone else prospering and we don't know why. Why would they be prospering? They don't seem to care about God at all. But we trust God has it fully in hand and their life is not done yet. And they may yet reap the sowing sparingly. So let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart. So there is some spiritual thought about this, isn't there? You can't just kind of float down the river in life and not think about this area in doing this message. I've thought about my own giving, our own giving, and what adjustments we could make. I should be making adjustments. You should be making adjustments as we come before God. Say, what adjustments do you want me to make? Purposes in his heart. So it's a, you know, we get a chance to choose here, as well as hear from Holy Spirit. Not grudgingly or of necessity. You know, if you think for a second that this message means, okay, from now on, we're going to be looking for your name coming through the offering. It's not about that. It's not from necessity. In fact, if you're a hilarious giver, it benefits you far more than it benefits God. Did you hear that? If you're a hilarious giver, it benefits you far more than it benefits God. He doesn't need it. But you need it. I need it. For God loves a cheerful giver. Again, that statement, I'm not sure I understand that. He loves them a little more, or they're able to receive his love a little better because they're a hilarious giver. They're not fighting God all the time. You know, God loves without us giving him anything. For God so loved the world that he gave. You think that world was like giving to God and that's why he gave Jesus? No. But God commendeth his own love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, oh, we weren't hilarious givers. And he gave Christ. So you could, you know, sit the rest of your life and not give God a dime and he would love you so much. Because he doesn't base it on that. But you will probably not go as far in the kingdom as you need to, want to, desire to. At this point, you wouldn't be here if you didn't desire to go forward into the kingdom. It opens doors that hilarious giving opens doors like nothing else can open those doors. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Okay, what you have to give has come from God anyway. That's what I'm saying. Oh, you want to give? God will supply what you need to give. So anyone that's kind of, you know, walked in the room today and, you know, you've purposed in your heart some things for giving, and you say, let's see, you know, I only get this much on my check. That's what I'll tithe on. Because the government, it takes that big chunk before I get it, so I'm really just going to tithe on what I get, right, God? And he says, actually, there's a first fruits deal in the Bible where you give off the top. First fruits, whatever you receive. So you actually received that full amount. You did, because it works into your taxes at the end of the year. It's just that the government's smart enough to get in there and get their slice of the pie right off the top. But you have to see what the top is, because God gets a slice before the government because you purposed in your heart. Does that make sense? So in other words, there are those that tithe on their gross because that's what they really have. And God should get it before the government does. And if you purpose in your heart, that's the way it works. God actually gets it before the IRS. But he supplies the seed to the sower, the bread for food. He can multiply the seed. When you're a hilarious giver, I think it just energizes that multiplying of your gift. If you go up there and you just, you know, you squeeze the wallet or the purse, you're just like, oh, it just, you can hardly make it to the offering box. There, I did it, God. I think he has a way of just, that's it. That's all that goes for, you know. It probably pays for that light right up there. But if you have a hilarious heart and you go back there and you're like, wham, you slam it in there and you go, yes, God. You're going to meet all my needs because I'm putting in a little extra this time. Woo! Feeling good. 2020. Then I think he has a way of multiplying that kind of gift. Because the heart, he multiplies anything from our heart. When we want to minister to someone and we're in fear and trembling that we're not going to be able to be any ministry to them, we say, God, give me the power for that. I think he multiplies it through us. That's why we see healings with humble hearts. But someone that comes in and says, I know what I'm doing. I've been trained. I went to Randy Clark School. I know all about healing. Who wants to be healed? Oh, you do? Okay. I think, you know, with the attitude, you don't get the multiplication. Now, sometimes he's awfully gracious to that person, and they get healed anyway, despite the person trying to be the instrument, because he's just merciful. That person that's doing it with the wrong heart and not honoring God with what he's gifted them in to be a vessel for him, eventually there's going to be a reckoning day where they will see that they need to bend the knee to Jesus and let him work through them rather than thinking they've got some kind of handle on things. I just go to meetings now, and I have for a number of years now, where I just go and I go, God, I don't know what to say. There's this situation there. There's this thing going on there, certain personalities and so on. I just want them to go forward in God. I'm not trying to control the thing. I'm not trying to be the big boss. I'm not trying to be the biggest voice at the meeting. But I want your kingdom to be built in cooperation with these folks. What do I say? What do I do? And he often comes in and just smooths the way for it to work. And I feel like life is coming out of me rather than my own words, rather than my own experience. So more and more, I'm trying to be dependent on him. So a hilarious giver is very dependent on God. You can't go around, you know, with a badge that says hilarious giver, because you're going to get tested on that one. So he supplies even for our gifts. If you look at it that way, it's just awesome what can happen. Because it, by giving, you're just coming into that much more intimacy with Jesus. And obviously, it's not all about tithes and offerings and first fruits and all of that. So many of you give in a number of ways that no one ever sees, and maybe you haven't even taken account of it, and it's probably a good thing. But I see it. I see it. There are hilarious givers here. Tremendously hilarious givers. For instance, just ask you know, someone to go do something for Frontline. They have to drive their own car. Did they pay for the gas for that car? Yes, they did. Did they drive the miles that ate up the gas for that car, but it was for an errand or something involved in their being on the staff here, or maybe they're a volunteer and they're driving their own car, or you driving your own car to outreaches and so on. You may not think about it, but God sees it as part of your hilarious giving. You don't say, well, I better get a ride to somebody else. I'm spending my own money on this. This is a ministry outreach. What am I doing? I want to spend my own money. I want to know when I'm spending money for God. That's not the attitude I see here. And no one comes in the office and says, hey, could I get reimbursed for, you know, going out to Walmart and back because, you know, I drove my car. I should get the $2. Okay, $2.30. Okay, $2.30 I think I spent driving those miles. No. People just give that hilariously to God. They don't even think about it. Probably some of you will now. And now you've got a test in your heart. Okay, you know, some of you have things you've purchased for Frontline and you skipped the reimbursement. I'm not saying you should. But some people have, or they've forgotten. Just as good. So am I. And God sees that you're not, you know, coming to the office and demanding. But if you need a reimbursement, Carly writes them out all the time. We don't say, you know, kind of encourage that person not to get that reimbursement. Use of your home. Sometimes we don't have all the gatherings here. We used our home for years. One day we'll replace the carpet that has all of your stains in it. Ooh, oops, that Coke. Oh, gosh. Well, I hope we can get it up. Oh, there comes Carson. He's walked through it. You know. That was our old cat. Anyway. We had someone use the facilities on the second floor. Toilet overflowed. During Bible study, it started dripping down into the Bible study. And the person was in there with the door locked and didn't want to unlock it for help. So it took a little longer to solve the problem. Probably embarrassment and how do I take care of this? I don't know how to do that. And we still have the mark of love on the ceiling of when that happened. It's been patched because actually, you know, after years it started dropping little pieces of, no, not that, pieces of the ceiling. But God sees all that we offered our home to have people come in, and we didn't make a rule about the carpet. Oh, you can't take something in on a carpet. My thought was, to heck with the carpet. These people need to be close. They're called to something higher than this Bible study. They're called to something farther than this room. If they spill something on the carpet, we'll clean it up. But I want their lives to be close, and I want them to feel comfortable and not be, although we did have them pile up the shoes, when they walked in. That was kind of fun, just to see that big pile of shoes. But that was more because it was humorous to me, because people couldn't find their shoes when they left. The pile was so big. It wasn't so much about the carpet, especially if they're going to come in and spill things on the carpet. Which is worse, shoes or the spilling? But some of you offer your homes for various gatherings and so on. You don't say, oh my golly, people are in our house, they're messing up this. They sat on the couch and, you know, you don't do that. Maybe you give something away that you could have sold. Give away a car, a computer, a guitar, a camera, all kinds of things. To try to bless someone in the body. Maybe they're learning guitar. You give them a guitar. Maybe they leave Frontline. They still have that guitar. And you go, go in peace. God bless you. You don't start, you know, taking an account of what you gave away and then say, gee, they're not even here anymore. They missed the whole point. It was part of the family of Frontline. It was given to the Lord. When you have an instrument that gets banged up that you're using in worship, it better be on the altar. The guilty are coming forth. I've dropped a guitar. I was telling Ashley, dropped a guitar on the worship stage. Very expensive guitar. And the strap came loose. It bounced on the stage. It like bounced back up to my arms. Well, not quite that high, but makes a better story. Bounced up off the carpet, boom, like that. I looked at the bottom of it, split. So it lost about $800 to $1,000 right there when I sold it. And it was all about using it for worship. I could have had the church buy a guitar that I specifically used for worship and keep my guitars pristine. But I would never think of doing that. If I have guitars, I want them used for the gospel. If I have something that I can offer to the gospel, I want it offered to the gospel. We go on mission trips. I've given a camera to Frontline. You know, it's a nice camera to use on mission trips. I upgraded. So I take my camera on mission trips so I can use it. And then they come to me and they say, can we use your camera? It makes better pictures. Sure. I'm not using it right now. Sure. Could I get it back? Maybe before the end of the trip? Just so I could take a couple personal pictures? My recorder. We've bought a recorder for the church. I take a recorder on mission trips in case there's something I want to record. Hey, can we use your recorder? I get it back after the mission trip, usually. It should be that way. Release these things to be used for the gospel, whether I'm the one personally using it or not. Many of you offer meals to people, clothing, other items to people in the body. God sees all that as your hilarious giving. You can't wait to bless someone. Or you buy something new for them that they weren't expecting. It wasn't their birthday. You just saw the need. That happens here. God sees it, part of your hilarious giving. Makes me pretty proud as Papa in the house to see those kinds of things going on. And I'm not going around encouraging people to do that. It just happens. I love it. Fixing things at people's houses. Oh, my. That happens here a lot. Sometimes with a reduced payment. Sometimes no payment. Sometimes just help. Skilled people coming to your house that you'd have to pay a lot more money for. And sometimes not so skilled people that are trying at their craft. And you need someone else to come in and help after that. But they have the heart. They have the heart. Paying into your own mission trip. Anybody ever done that? Oh, is that a hard one to squeeze out? If I would have just sent out 12 more support letters. I wouldn't have to squeeze this out of my own pocket to pay for this mission trip. But you do it, and God sees it, and he knows where your heart is, because your money is following your heart. You want to get to the mission field, and you don't want Frontline to have this huge debt from everyone that wouldn't finish up their mission trip amount in good fashion. You offer your own supplies. Don't even think about it. You're at home. This needs copied. It gets copied at home rather than at the church. Office supplies that you buy to bless some way, shape, or form. Things are used at home that you need to do some frontline project or something. Mints and gum. I mean, I have a new budget at my house just for the children. Because they're kind of excited about that hilarious giving. And they let me know when there's something that's empty. What a system. It's just awesome. They let me know. Oh, we're out of gum. You have it in your other bag? You know, you can tell that they're kingdom kids because they just ask the father and his representatives. Oh, Lord, you're so good. What are three key areas to give to God from the heart? Well, first you have to have the right attitude. It should be voluntary, willing, cheerful, loving, and obedient. Just a few of those. You're going to give yourself. That's been kind of a theme the last half of the year. Here's my life. Lord, here's my life. Hilarious giving is a whole lot easier when you've already given him your whole life and everything that goes with that. If you're giving him your whole life, you're giving him your resources, right? If you're giving him your whole life, you're giving him tithes and offerings one way or another because you just want to. You want it to be part of what you do for God. How you live for him. So first you have to give yourself. And that's the first fruits that you're giving. Right off the top. Here it is, God. No fudging around. Here's my life. And it's a whole lot easier to be a faithful giver, cheerful giver, willing giver, volunteering to give, volunteering to love in your giving, being obedient to what God says about giving. Your time. Give Jesus all your time. Redeem the time. The Bible says you need to redeem the time. A couple passages there. Invest time in people. That's part of our giving to him, our hilarious giving. And who hasn't lost some hours of sleep this week that has been involved? Okay, that's an investment. But who sees that? Your father. And he's just laughing, saying they are such hilarious givers. Give that time in the middle of the night. And no audience, just Jesus. He loves it. He puts it in your account as a hilarious giver. I kind of skipped over. Give to Jesus all that you are. He has given all that he is to you. You know, Jesus was the first fruits back from God. All those gifts and sacrifices and everything in the Old Testament. There was a picture of Jesus, and they were giving to God. He was going to give them a gift that would blow it all away and be the sacrifice so that you and I don't have to go with goats and sheep and sheep, not sheeps. Goats, sheep, and doves and things to a place and see them sacrificed right in front of us. Jesus was the one that ended that system by his sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. Resources. Give to Jesus all that you have and use for his glory what he gives back to you. If you lay it all on the altar, then you're more aware of what he's giving back to you. He gives you back the majority, doesn't he? To manage. God doesn't need our resources. Father God desires honor from the heart, which is also best for us. Honoring God is what this is all about, right? Hilarious and honor go together. We're just honoring him. Just saying, you deserve my life. You deserve my resources. Here's my reminder of that as I give tithes and offerings and so on. So tithes are the systematic giving of a portion, typically one-tenth or greater. By the way, in the Jewish system, many of them figure it was like 20 or 23% with all the different offerings and different things that they had. One-tenth or greater of one's income and or property to God in recognition of the fact that he owns everything and entrusts us with provision from his unlimited resources. So again, those passages, Philippians 4:19 is he'll supply all of our needs, and Psalm 50 talks about how he just owns everything. He's just got it. I think that's the one of Cattle on a Thousand Hills. And it mentions there first fruits, a giving to God first of what he provides for us and recognition that we give to the giver first to honor him before we benefit from what the giver gives us. God, as you've heard a billion times somewhere, you can't outgive God. You know, if it's a competition, you lose. I lose. You can't outgive him. I tell people, are you just thinking that your paycheck or what you have coming in from a job or investments or whatever is as far as it can go from God providing your finances? Then you're not living in the supernatural world. You're living in a natural world. So if you receive the natural, regular, old, I'll withhold that label, kind of advice, financial advice, that says this is what you have to budget it so that this is, you know, where it will go, so you base your giving on that, and maybe give a little more. Be a hilarious giver. That is not God's way. That's man's thought, even in the church, of how to deal with finances. I say the sky is the limit. God could give us a gift that surprises us at any moment. He's a good father. He gives good gifts. He goes way above our resources. There are people living here on very small resources, and yet they've had surprises from God as they've come into this family and this environment, that we believe God is bigger than what we think he is. And when we start saying that, he shows it in finances. So you might say, well, I only make, you know, this much a week. Well, start thinking that God is going to provide for you beyond that. That's not going to be the limit for you. And think about giving to him. And watch what he does. First give your life. Then he'll lead you as to what happens after that. Yeah, the tithe, considered 10%, all of that. It's a good thing to start. I started it when I was a young Christian. And man, just from that, it's been incredible what God has done. And I'm terrible at finances. And they put me in charge of a church? Are you crazy? But it's a good thing. Because I know I have to depend on God for what comes in here and goes out. And I'm kind of the one that makes the decision on that. Isn't that crazy? Probably, if I were to pick, you know, 40 guys, I'd be the last one picked to do that. But the wisdom that he gives, he'll say, you don't have it right now, but give it to this project. But if I do that, what about payroll? you are listening to me, right? Yeah, oh yes, Lord, I'm paying attention. Give this right now out of the ministry to this project right now. He's nice about it, though, right now. Maybe I'm making him sound mean. Right now. So I go, okay. So I give that. In the next week, phew, so much comes in over that that we're able to do maybe a second deal on that project and meet payroll and do other things. And it's happened so many times. I don't have the ability to figure all that out. If I were to do it, I would go the Dave Ramsey way. You know, jot and tittle, every little thing figured out. You got your budget, and you got that makes me feel better. This craziness of walking on water in finances for a small ministry that's doing big things, that's crazy. But it's fun. Oh, is it fun? When he comes in and he just surprises me and I give the reports to the leadership, or surprises us when I give the report next week, you know, to all of you, or when I can't hold it back and I just have to tell you individually what God is doing and how he's taking care of this need and that need around the world. I don't know if you know, but we have ministries in so many different places and they all have needs. How in the world are we the lead hilarious giver as a ministry? Look at how many of you are in the pews. Now, that's just crazy. We should be doing, and we aren't. Do you know that in Stark County, I keep hearing from other pastors, because I'm in a lot of pastors' meetings in this season, that they come and they say, well, you know, we barely can make the budget to take care of the church. And they have bigger groups than we have. Just to take care of the church building and the expenses and the staff and all that. They are concerned about this. And I am thinking of this. And I don't know how I got there. Because I would be Dave Ramsey's biggest fan. If you don't know who Dave Ramsey is, he's kind of the new spiritual guru. It started with Larry Burkett, and it went to Ron Blue, and now it's Dave Ramsey. And they give basic financial advice. It just doesn't fit Frontline. If it did, we wouldn't do jack. We wouldn't. Okay, I'm feeling my oats. It wouldn't even take a mustard seed of faith. It could be smaller. It could be microscopic. I don't know what I'm doing. And you should be shaking in your boots that I'm in charge of what happens with the finances around here. But what's so funny is we reach that nation, that nation, that nation, that nation, that nation, that nation. And you've got someone at the top that doesn't know what he's doing. This is so fun. What an adventure. So at Christmas time, we have Gift of Christmas. That was one of our first big financial outlays. In 2005, when we opened up this building, it was in September, we had our first meeting in this building, Sunday nights, so that we wouldn't draw many of the young people to us on a Sunday morning that were involved with us in missions and training and so on, that they would have to go before God and their leaders at their various churches, because they went to various churches, and they would have to start a discussion on where they should be, where they were trained or where they attended, because now it was a church, not a ministry anymore. And that was, you know, a time when I knew I couldn't just come and say, hey, you should join us. We had to just open the doors on a Sunday night service. Most of the churches didn't have a Sunday night service, or, you know, pastors weren't necessarily looking for young people every Sunday night to show up. We started on Tuesday nights because Wednesday nights is when most of the churches had meetings. And people from other churches couldn't come here to get a drink of the well that we hope God would bring to this place of his presence. So we tried very hard not to just crash the system of the church in Stark County. But we opened our doors in September of 2005, and we said, wow, Christmas is going to be here right on us, and we need to do something as a church for Christmas. We're a church now. As a ministry, you went out to an outreach and passed out cookies, prayed for people, things like that. But as a ministry of a building, you could do something with that building. A hilarious giving of your building during Christmas. What would we do? We all talked around the leadership. And some people do a meal, yeah. Some people have different ideas and so on. And somehow out of our confused discussion, the Holy Spirit popped up Gift of Christmas. Who takes people out to shop? I mean, it's nice to get some cookies at your door, but it'd sure be a great thing if you were able to go with a budget to, you know, Walmart or Kmart, whatever it was, and make some choices for yourself or your family. So God gave us the idea, then, yeah, bring them back here for a big blowout meal. And then let them have clothing. Of course, it's getting to be winter. That'd be awesome. And then, oh, wrap their presents, and then transportation, and Gift of Christmas happened, first year. But Gift of Christmas, you can imagine, costs a whole boatload of money. And we started planning without the money. Now, I don't know if you know this, but usually church budgets plan for something like that months ahead, probably the previous year, late in the year. They would say, okay, next December, we will put in our budget that we will have a Gift of Christmas, and we'll start putting funds into that fund so that that funds the needs for that outreach. We didn't have that lead time, and we still wanted to do God's idea. And the money came in that first year without really knowing who the members of the church were going to be. They were still dealing, working with their leadership at their church, appealing to their leaders, those that felt they should be part of us, without us recruiting them here. And it still happened. With all that shakiness, all that newness, all we're just trying to figure things out. And we had the first Gift of Christmas. And God supplied the money. It was our, other than mission trips, which was another incredible thing, over the years up to that point. He had supplied and supplied and supplied for all kinds of young people to go on mission trips. Awesome, awesome. So I guess we probably stepped into Gift of Christmas with a little bit of knowing those kinds of supernatural miracles that he wanted to bring. Saying to a young person, yes, you can go overseas, and they didn't have their money yet. A lot of groups, they won't let them go unless they have their full funding by a certain time. And if they don't have it, they don't go. They put it in an account, and they go the next year. But we decided, no, we're not going to do it that way. We went against some of the patterns that had been established by ministries and churches and different things, asking Holy Spirit for frontline. We're not going to cast aspersions on this ministry or that church or anything, but for frontline, what would you do if you were free to move and give us ideas, and what would you want to do? Take the young person, whether the money comes in or not, and expect me to make up the difference. Okay? And incredibly, all the trips were paid off. We don't have this debt with some bank over mission trips for 20-some years. And, I've given the testimony before of how he took care of this building when it came available, and how the whole process of that, and how he reduced the price more than two-thirds, I would say. Incredible. And so the building's paid off, the land's paid off, and you're looking at the one that's the most grateful because I don't know what I'm doing. And he gives words. He'll tell you what to do. I'm trying to let you know that that picture is what can happen in your personal finances more and more and more. And I want it to happen more in my personal finances. But it starts with us giving our lives. It starts with us being willing to be hilarious givers, and then he just leads you. And there are these instructions, you know, in the Bible about tithing. You say, well, tithing's Old Testament. Well, Jesus spoke about it. Verses are on here for you to look at. Jesus still believed in tithing. Huh. Seems kind of weird. But think of the creation of the world. I didn't bring this up yet, right? The creation of the world. Sometimes so real to me, what he's speaking to me about, that I figure I already shared it. The creation of the world. God creates the whole world and he says, okay, you're in charge. What? We're in charge of the animals? How does that work? What if we wanted to save some animals on the ark? Oh, I'll just call them to you. I'll just call them to you. And they'll just come in the right numbers, and they'll just get on the ark. Oh, that's kind of cool. I didn't have to go round them all up. Nope. When I created the world, I gave you charge of it, but you need my help for it to really go well. So he gives us charge of our finances, but we need him to help us with all the decisions that go along with that. And he will need to call some more finances to you at times. Do you want that? Because I do. I don't want to look at my paycheck and say, well, that's what it is for the month. I always look at my paycheck and say, well, that's the base. What else are you going to bring in? What are you going to surprise me with, God? I'm like a little kid at times. Not every day. I struggle as well. But on my good days, woo, 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 you know, what are you going to do? Take care of this need. How are you going to do it? And I'm really that way with frontline stuff because it's just happened so much that he's a giver. He's a hilarious giver. You get it? And we're to follow Jesus? We're to be hilarious givers and enjoy it. Oh, but you don't know my bills. I have to pay for my college. God had to create the whole world out of nothing. He can do the same with your finances. I love that. You hilarious give, and he hilarious gives to you. You hilariously give back to him, and then he gives it back to you. And you're like throwing, you're hitting the ping pong ball back, and he hits it back harder. And you're like, no, I can do better than that. And he brings it back even more, and then he throws a whole bunch of ping pong balls that you can't hit back. That's what he intends for us. And it's so fun. I love playing ping pong with God. I lose every time. Sweet. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He means it. He just means it. All these things. Do you know why he didn't list them? Because he wants it to be a surprise. What all things he's going to supply to you. say, well, he's not doing it this week, then expect. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full, complete. What's that mean? He wants your joy to be full and complete. So if you're in a bad situation, ask him rather than your checkbook to increase its balance. Offerings, a sacrificial giving to the Lord that costs us something of value. This is what not to do, and then we'll tell what to do. Oh, I've got a mission trip coming up. I better use my tithe to take care of the mission trip costs. It's still giving to God. And it works on a practical level. It actually works. You get your mission trip paid for maybe by your tithes. It works. God sees it as giving. Yeah, sure he does. But I'm telling you, there's a better way. And if there's a better way that you could be hilarious about that, it would be to trust God that you make, you know, that you would consistently give your tithe, and then that he would take care of the mission trip as well. Both and. Not cut corners. Both and. Not cut corners. Well, I just had a windfall from the Lord. Well, that was a gift. I don't need to give that back to God. You're right. He's not sitting there going, oh boy, we won't be able to get to the end of the month in the kingdom if you don't give that. It's about you. I came into a windfall, but boy, that's an awful big amount that's going to be the tithe, even if it's just 10%. And I don't try to push it a little to 11 or 12. Oh my gosh, that's the most money I've ever given. Hilarious givers go, that's the most money I've ever given. Woo-hoo! He brought me the windfall in the first place. Woo-hoo! I don't know what that's going to sound like on the tape, but awful fun to do. So Satan has a plan for your giving, by the way. It's in Matthew 4:9. It's nice to open up the Bible. Matthew 4:9. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. He's tempting Jesus. But he does the same thing with us. If you'll just kind of cut corners here with God and kind of, you know, don't be so hilarious, then I'll give you all of this. And he always has something in front of us that, oh, that'd be better than giving to God. I could have a new car. Oh, that'd be better than giving to God. I could have a new computer. Oh, that'd be better than giving to God because blah, 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 blah. He tempts us like he tempted Jesus. But what's Jesus' plan for giving? Luke 18:22. Luke is still in my Bible. I've just shed tears on the pages and they're stuck together. No. 18:22. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So it's the statement to the rich young ruler in Luke. And he just says, give it. Give it all. And I'll give back to you what you need to keep to take care of things. If we have that attitude that God gives us all, it makes all the difference in the world with what kind of giver we end up being. If we don't honor God as the one that brings it to it, but my hard work, you know, I worked for this. I actually worked for this. And so I deserve the benefit, the full benefit of this. Or I have big bills. None of those things are enough to convince a hilarious giving God that you're in bad straits because you're one of his sheep. And the shepherd is a good shepherd, a great shepherd. He can't be called that if he elects one of the sheep have a whole bunch of problems, if they're aligned with his heart. Do you know you will have a lot of problems as a sheep if you're off the path? If you're over here doing your own deal and you go, God, how come you're not helping me? How come you're not helping? The shepherd's over here wanting you to take you in alignment with heaven. Good pasture, living water, if you're in alignment with the shepherd and his heart. But if you're over here and complaining, everything's getting worse. Everything's getting worse. God doesn't care about me. Sure he does. Come into alignment with his heart. And you'll find out, wow, some of those things get taken care of in a hurry financially once we're in alignment with his heart. But if we're just dancing over here by ourselves, it's no wonder we have problems. The wolf is over there. The tall, confusing grass is off the path. There's a cliff that we're not going to see, and we could fall off that cliff. Because we're supposed to be guided by a shepherd. And a shepherd has helpers. They're called sheepdogs. That's what I am. I'm a sheepdog. I come and nip at you to help you get it more in alignment with the shepherd. You see, sometimes it's a nice little nippy nip, and sometimes it's, well, not usually, but I like to think that at least. So there are some warnings. I wouldn't be doing my full job if I didn't give the warnings. So Malachi 3, 8 through 18. Can someone read that? Malachi 3, 8 through 18. As soon as you get it, tell us what version it's in. In case it's the me version. Still looking for Malachi? It's in the Old Testament. Small book. Oh, thank you.
I have a verse memorized, not all of those. I'm reading from the NASB, the official.
The one Paul used.
Yep. Malachi 3, starting in verse 8. There we go. Will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this. This is the one I know. This is the good one. Test me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. What am I going to, 18? All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge, and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of the wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possessions, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him.
So, one of the warnings, and it's about robbing God. And, you know, like we said, he doesn't need anything. We're not adding anything to his supply or to his resources. But when a person is not an hilarious giver, he knows it affects them, or in this case, a nation. And so it's out of his love that he calls us to be hilarious givers. You know, some people read this with, like, strong words and so on. So you're robbing God. It's not really the issue. You're robbing yourself of what God can do for you. And that's the challenge to all of us. Relying on possessions, Luke 12:15. Whoever gets it first.
In the Passion Translation. Speaking to the people, Jesus continued, "Be alert and guard your heart from greed and always wishing for what you don't have, for your life can never be measured by the amount of things you possess."
Okay, when we go to a place where they have more than what's needed, and the monies were used for, in a sense, things that were way overboard from what was needed, even if it was done nicely, it just kind of strikes us, and it's always usually rather famous. I was at a church in Maslin this past week that I'd always wanted to see because it's just so big, big, and has a long history, and it ornate in many ways. Well, I went inside, and it was even more so. And the pastor took Pastor Mary Patton and I on a short little tour because we were there early. And it was just like, you could never build this today. It was built with, you know, monies of the parishioners and so on, and they just went all out on the building. So it still stands that way. It's just awesome. As far as, you know, what it looks like and the woodwork and the lights and all the ornate little curlicues all over the place. And it's just like you're like in awe of the building. But the denomination is going to the dogs. The people in the church are a small group. We are too, but they're not. What should I say? Not on fire. Put it that way. For the things of God. They're there, and he says, if he stands and he says, let's pray, they pull out the kneelers. And it's not Catholic. They pull out the kneelers that are on these beautiful pews that haven't changed in who knows how long. And they go immediately to their knees, and they take the position. But it's not a church that's on fire. So what's the disconnect? They've been hilariously giving toward the thing that houses them rather than being the temple of the Holy Spirit's fire themselves. So you actually can give towards the things of God, but you're giving towards things that he's not really too excited about. They could have done with a, you know, less ornate church and a whole lot more fire in the people and to keep the pure doctrine, the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not what is preached there. And you just go, whoa, you know, they've got all this possession that now has become a burden to them because they have to take care of that. And I'm sure their ministries are curtailed because they have to take care of heeding this monstrosity in these days. And I say monstrosity meaning big, not it looks bad. It looks terrific. They've taken care of the building beautifully. And you say, well, I mean, we can still have both. Yeah. But if you got fire, I'll take the fire over a fancy building or a beautiful building or anytime. Anytime, because that changes lives. And a big building like that, you walk in, you have a little bit of, wow, this is a cool building. But some people go in, wow, the building is stained glass windows. I feel the awe of God in here. But they're mistaking it. It's the awe of the surroundings. The awe of God always happens on the inside. You know, you look at what he's created and you go, there isn't one home on one of those planets, but he made them anyway. There isn't one church on any of those planets, but he made it anyway, just to get across to me how big he is, how amazingly big he is. And on the inside, the awe is there because I'm not walking on Mars. I'm just looking at Mars. And I'm in awe of how big he must be. The distances in space and all of that. Hear my heart on that. We still want connection with people in that situation and in our city. But we know they need something that they're going to have to take their eyes off of what they're in, you know, what houses them, and look to be a dwelling place of the Lord. So fortunately, you don't have to worry about that. I mean, we upgraded this building, but it's not like the focus, is it? We even went off the stage to have worship back there, and it was just awesome. The time that I was back there and others that I saw video of and everything, people were just engaged with the Lord. They didn't need the electronics. They didn't need the stage. They didn't need an audience. So hear my heart on that. And you already know the love of money versus contentment. Those chapters, you know, are pretty challenging. We'll let you read those on your own. But the love of money leads to all sorts of evil. Not money, but the love of it. You know, like the rich young ruler. He embraced it, hugged it, couldn't give it up. Zacchaeus became transformed into a hilarious giver because of encounter with Jesus. So a person can encounter Jesus in their finances and walk away. I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to do anything any different. I'm not going to bring this before you, Holy Spirit. And then there are those that encounter the Lord and they become a hilarious giver or more of a hilarious giver. And it benefits their life. Because that's what God is, and we're supposed to desire to be like him. So there's a number of passages there about that you can look up and check into, even reward, if you want to go to that one first. And they're just a sampling. Obviously, we could take up page after page after page with giving because it is a very big theme in the Bible. But we'll close with that. And Father, we thank you, Jesus, that we're Zacchaeus. We're hilarious givers in the making. And God, we're already hilariously giving. And as I mentioned, God, in so many different ways that maybe some here had never thought of. And God, we're giving offerings when we give to Frontline Global Partners and when we give to the Rajamundry Children's Home. Offerings to those projects so the gospel can go further. And so people can be taken care of, children taken care of that grow into adults and actually end up with careers in a country that is a mess right now because of the leadership, especially for Christians. Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you're all over this area for us. And if we think we're just the widow and we give two mites, God, you see the heart. It's about the heart, not the gift. It's not even about a change in finances. It's about a change in heart. It's not about saying, well, wow, I guess I have to give more now because there was a message on it, or I won't be a hilarious giver. Wrong approach. I should be giving my heart more to you, my life more to you, and these things will fall in place. You'll build that desire within me if I don't have it myself. You've done it with me, God. I give testimony to your name that you take care of every person that aligns with heaven. So, Father, if we're feeling like we're that sheep that's just not being taken care of, what's going on here? I have more needs than I can imagine. It's more about lining up with your heart than it is finding ways to increase the finances, because the finances will come in to take care of your son or daughter if our heart lines up with you. If we have given our whole life to you, no secret before you, no secrets before you, no secret habits, secret sins holding us back from being in alignment with you, no secret lifestyle holding us back from being in alignment with you, no secret selfishness holding us back from being in alignment with you. God, purify us. Father, you know that we've come to your word and realized you want to search us, Psalm 139, 23 and 24. You want to search us, and that the issues of life have to do with the heart, Proverbs 4, 23. Jesus, we believe these scriptures. We want to step into them and let you purify us and bring our hearts before you so that we're pure in your sight. Holy because of you, Jesus, not because we're so good at keeping rules or regulations, but because we go after you and your heart. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Transform us into more hilarious giver than we've ever been before. And it will benefit us, benefit the kingdom, benefit our whole line. We could be the pioneer of hilarious giving in our family. And others would look to us and say, oh, how in the world do you have so many miracles happen in your life? And we could say, part of it is that God is hilariously giving to me because he knows he has my heart. I give you my whole life, Jesus. Here it is. Such as it is, transform me into your follower. Transform me into your obedient lamb. Transform me into a hilarious giver. We give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Having the heart of a hilarious giver is far more important than the gift itself. Welcome to 2020. And a new heart, more and more.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.